Welcome back in our podcast Legal Ops Insiders, a podcast about everything related to legal operations aimed at heads of legal, general counsels, legal ops leader, and everyone interested in improving or enabling legal service delivery. In this episode, we're going to talk about data and metrics. Why should you collect data and metrics? What data and metrics are we talking about? What should legal measure? And what are the tips and tricks regarding this topic? What type of data are we talking about?
Yeah, from a technical perspective, it's a sort of easy to do. I think it's important to distinguish several types of data. First of all, from a legal tech point of view, you have the what is called metadata, CLM metadata. So what is your start date, end date of a contract? Is there a change of control clause? Is there, a liquidated damages clause? And what are the parameters of liquidated damages clauses? And what are the parameters of delivery and things like that? Then you have contract process related data. Think of how much time does it cost to create a first draft? How much negotiation cycles do you have? How much time does the approval cycle cost or the e-signing cycle? Then a third category relates to usage of the legal technology and users. How is the technology used? Which also gives indications for how much do we do in the analog manual era and how much do we do in the digital era, if you wish. And then, of course, you can sort of further differentiate meta management related measure, legal issues, claims, litigation, support requests. And probably, Linda, you have your thoughts as well on things.
Yeah, so if we talk about what legal should measure, I think there are, for a legal department, three buckets, and we can discuss those buckets. But I think as a legal department, you should measure operational efficiency metrics. So how well do we run as a legal department? And then all those data types you just mentioned are, I think, part of that as well, such as cycle time. So how much time does it cost to close an average contract, workload distribution, but also outside counsel spend and budget management. Then you have the second bucket, risk and quality metrics. Are we actually protecting the business? So the percentage of contracts with key risk clause negotiated, but also legal training completion rates. And then the third category of data, I think, is business alignment and value metrics. So are we actually helping the company to achieve its goals? If we talk about these three buckets, and let's start with the operational efficiency buckets, where do you think of? What is good for a legal department? And from your experience, what do you see that legal departments are nowadays measuring?
Well, for legal departments, it still is a pretty new topic, measuring. It's not their daily business. They need to collect the data. And the question you always get is, how? How am I going to collect this data? And maybe it's good to spend some time on that, because it's the first question I get when you talk about data. Most lawyers understand data, they understand these numbers, that they need them and that they can measure them and also can manage them, of course. That is what you want in the end. But how to get them and how to get reliable data that you can trust and you can really use in your daily work? I think that is good to spend some time on. Willem, what would be your experience in collecting data? Where would you start?
In legal technology, of course, it's easy to track everything. I mean, there's logging anyhow on the background, and that's either it's in the logging files of the database, which is what the database does, or you reveal it for user on user dashboards.
But I think that you should know your way in the software to get this data.
And of course, the data are only valuable and reliable in a way if you actually use the applications, and if you don't use it or you use it only for part of your work, then the value of those data become. But it's surprising if we see how much proactive reporting we do for our customers, where we say, okay, this is how the application is used for these contracts. These type of contracts are created at that volume of contracts, and that is actually something that you should, I think, have on your radar, sort of on a dashboard radar, somewhat permanently. And the interesting thing is, there is no history for this. In the past, It's like if the business is happy with how we serve them, then that's fine. And no one is asking for data. But we are living more in an era where return on investment counts, where people are held accountable for how quick or slow processes run. We also see that contracting progress processes are relatively slow for at least what you, with your gut feeling, think should be able to achieve. But then the funny thing is, you would say, okay, so we need to cut the cycle time of a contract, and then you start with a zero measurement, but there is none.
Yeah, but this is relevant for all processes that legal is dealing with, because you can apply this to each process, not just contracting. But you should collect data on all these different processes.
Yeah, and in a legal tech solution, this is just happening. The data are there. Even if the programmers didn't cater for it, the databases do.
Yeah, for example, in your digital signature, like DocuSign, you can very much track how quick it was signed after the document was
uploaded. And these are things, from a senior management point of view, you would want to know how much time is lost in an e-signing process.
Exactly.
But the interesting thing is actually much more. When we had our discussions with Gartner about what value does We Agree actually bring, what is the return on investment of using contract lifecycle management, or rather the pre-signing stage of contract creation. Who cares if the response time of a legal department is sort of 2 weeks or 3 weeks versus a few days? That is, of course, nice. And we've seen success stories with customers.
Well, the business cares.
I would say.
Well, no, of course. If you can keep the business happy, then still you have the business happy. But the interesting thing is the answer that I received from this Gartner expert was quite clear. He says, if you reduce your cycle time from 6 weeks for a contract between initiation and e-signing to, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks, or do it somewhat more conservative to 4 or 5 weeks, then you chop off easily 10, 20, maybe even more time of your contract cycle. This is what is called your cost of capital, your weighted average cost of capital. It's for every contract, it may be 6 weeks, it may be 3 or 4 weeks. But what if over a whole year, all your contracts are 20% shorter?
But to measure this, you need a way to collect this data.
Absolutely.
And I think we should start there. If we talk about operational efficiency metrics, so how well do we run as a legal department, you can start with creating an overview with what data do I actually have already. And this can be done with your maturity scan, for example. But look at your processes. What data do you have? You have the number of emails you receive a day. Some companies work with a legal intake form, which is maybe built with Microsoft Power Automate or Microsoft Forms. How many requests a day do you get from the business? And then, indeed, most legal tools have the ability to generate a lot of operational data. However, my personal experience is that those are not optimal. So sometimes you need to combine them with Microsoft Power BI, or you need to look for a tool which has the data you have. And I think that's also maybe already a recommendation if you're now looking at implementing a legal tech tool or AI tool or whatever. Look also into the reporting functionalities, especially when you look for a meta management system or a document management system, because it can automate so much of your data reporting, which you are doing manually right now, maybe. But also look at the invoices you pay each month. What is your outside counsel spend? Look at the litigation, how much spend is related to a certain litigation. All these type of data, which you can easily create an overview from, is giving you some insight about how the legal department is running. If you look at the organizations you are helping with legal operations, are a lot of organizations already having this data in an overview? Because I don't think it's the natural habitat of a legal department to collect data whatsoever. It can really bring value to a department, and we will get to the why later, but what do you see in practice?
Yeah, maybe a good example is the cost of external lawyers, external spend. And it's a good low-hanging fruit you can start with. For one client of ours, we organized in such a way that each law firm worldwide sends their invoices to one email address where we make an overall report in of the legal spend per country, per case. And in that way, the general counsel has a complete overview of everything lawyers worldwide are doing on external spend. And it's a simple way of organizing it. Get the data, ask also your law firms to report in a certain way. They all have high-class, fancy e-billing systems. They can report with anything you ask them. So ask them also, if you work with multiple law firms, to report in a certain way, to give you certain data that you can use.
Yes, so do you, Willem, see regarding self-adoption rates, so how much is handled via a playbook or automation, do you see a lot of companies having a process for that to collect these data?
Playbooks, no. I think that's a somewhat relatively young phenomenon. And frankly, collecting data on your applications is relatively unknown phenomenon. If we provide reports proactively to our customers about their usage of the application and how they use it, that is a sort of comes as an eye opener. If you dive into those numbers and you start analyzing, okay, so how many of this type of contract has been created versus another type of contract that would typically go alongside. So where are those agreements? And then one of the interesting things, and that's also my own experience when I used to work as in-house counsel for some multinationals, is I would never feel comfortable putting my hand in the fire for all those contracts that were not in place and that should be in place. If you don't measure, then you do it all on perception and intuition, and you can't blame people on your intuition. That's a very inefficient way of discussing your processes.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because unlike other departments within a company like finance and sales, I think legal often lacks in data-driven performance. However, I believe this is an opportunity for legal operations. That's also why we're discussing it in this podcast, because if you can't measure it, can you really manage it? If you also look at workload distribution, for example, I know there are certain management systems who can really give insights in who is managing what are the active matters, what is the workload distribution, and that is not to see who is working the hardest within the team, but also to ensure there's enough balance in the workload within the team and to help each other out whenever there's a certain topic which requires a lot of attention.
Well, I have a few very funny experiences. In a way, it was not funny for us at all, but what we see with, what I've seen with customers is that they don't manage to get the adoption of the application done. So users are not going to use it, and certainly not as much as they should. And yet the business is uncomfortable with the service delivery of the legal department. And then the question arises, how are we going to solve it? Because the answer of legal department is sort of easy in saying, yeah, but we have too much work, so we need more people. Now, here's your enemy for adoption of legal tech, and that's also your enemy for your opportunity or your possibility to collect metrics, to collect data on usage. And I have seen legal departments growing, even doubling in size, and then after a few years say, well, we're not using the software, so we are going to revise whether we need that software or whether the software actually works. And there was nothing done to actually push the software. And then there are a lot of factors like, oh, I don't like to use it. Oh, I don't make that many contracts. Oh, I have not that much to do with contracts, so I'm not using it. And actually, my way of working is probably quicker. Even a standardized template takes me too much time to tailor, and that's time that I better spend if I don't use the software.
So that's very interesting. This is really useful to share this kind of information. Yeah. Also, when someone starts with implementation, you should make these examples, use them to inspire people to do it better. Because why would you invest in software, in people, if these things happen?
I mean,
it's weird.
They're very good examples.
And it's absolutely true. And there are really a number of things that you can do to make the use easier, like setting up API connections with the IT landscape. That's really one of the big drivers to go to your legal tech solution. If it's connected, then the data are easily connected and flow through the whole of the enterprise easier. And another thing is also, funny enough, if you do use and if you do reach adoption well, it can be by making it hard to avoid. That's really one of the big things you should think of as a legal ops leader or a head of legal. How do I make it difficult for our people to avoid the system? And then when you start using the applications and with contract automation, it's easy to see sort of 12 to 18% of productivity improvement. So that means freeing yourself up for a day or two per week, per person, all year long.
And Willem, you're already zooming into the why, that data helps to argue for resources and justify the tech investments. So that's really good. I think in this first bucket, we are already discussing a lot of topics, and it brings value. You also are zooming into why this brings value for an organization. But let's quickly zoom into the second bucket of data that we think a legal department should collect, and that is risk and quality metrics. So are we protecting the business? And
protecting the business means?
It means, or from my perspective, this data bucket means, for example, what is the percentage of completion rate of e-learnings that the legal team creates? The ratio of win or loss regarding a litigation, or maybe more important, which cases are solved earlier before litigation? Regulatory deadlines, are those met? Are the percentage of contract with key risk clauses, are they negotiated? So what is the value of the legal team in protecting the business? And can we bring that more visible with metrics? Because I think this is so important, because sometimes you hear that legal is a cost center and it's difficult to make the value of legal visible. But with these metrics of how are we protecting the business, and then we don't even talk about what value we bring to the business. We will get to that later. You really show the value of legal. So I think that's really interesting, but it's more difficult to measure. I mean, if you send out an e-learning, it's quite easy to see
how many people watched it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where did they stop watching the video? Yeah. Or after how many
seconds? Then still, that is only who did it. The value of the e-learning is still difficult to measure, but
That's at least some measure point. Yeah. It's the same thing that, as my experiences was, when I worked in Philips or DSM, we worked with the Brouw, Blackstone, Westbrook, who had, for competition law issues, they invoiced. And if you had time spent with a question with the firm, you were really required to approve this line item. I found that process, and this was a scanned invoice that was circling around to all those who were mentioned on the invoice, and I found that there was a somewhat awkward way of how the invoice goes around, but you really needed to sign off on your own minutes of asking advice. Now, that was a scanned invoice that someone manually emails around. I think that process was already at the somewhat trial stage of how can we optimize our external spend.
Yep.
I see here an easy case for artificial intelligence or an automated scan that extracts the line items, redistributes them to the right persons for their approval, and then you should be able to process such an invoice much easier.
Yeah, and also I think that's a good example, but also the regulatory requirements or deadlines are quite important for a company. Do you see companies who are really looking into that, or is that more something which only if you're very mature in legal operations comes at the table?
No, I see more companies looking into that, because also regulators just expect companies to have this data available. They know the data is there. They know the companies have it digitalized, so they just expect you to have it. And a good example is the DORA legislation, where banks, financial institutions need to report on their cybersecurity, on their IT contracts on a very detailed level. So they should
supply chain.
Supply chain. So evaluation. Even until Do your suppliers give awareness to their employees on cybersecurity?
Yeah.
And if you have to report on that as a bank, that is huge. These are huge reports. They have 92 data points that the ECB is asking for.
Yeah.
And so the ECB just expects you to have this data available. So you're forced to look into that, to organize it, and then subsequently to report on it. And certainly, the legal departments are often involved in this. It's much broader because it's also procurement and IT that have to contribute to this. But once you start doing this, you see all these type of interesting data. And if you report each year, you see trends. And suddenly you discover that this is relevant also for a legal department to do something with this.
I think this is also a good example of why legal operations is getting more important for companies.
Absolutely.
Because legal departments are now also expected to report certain data, which they are also internally for the board, for the organization, but also now externally, and to save it somewhere in case it is asked.
What I also find funny, that, and everyone has its own way to show how they are busy or not, or to the internal politics, and there are smart people who are very well able to bring across that they are extremely busy. And then if you take it to the merit and you start really sort of, show me the money, and then nothing comes at the table. Or others who you see sweat and who you see making extra hours. And if you then look in what they do, that you really see that they might improve if they have some more coaching or so. This translates, as I also see that happening, into a legal department, legal counsel, who say, I'm too busy, I really can't handle that extra case because I'm already working late every day.
Yeah.
You go to your budget holder and take care of an extra in-house counsel, or you hire temporary freelance legal counsel to step into a project.
This is what I call the Pavlov reaction of traditional legal counsels, general counsels.
Pathetic reaction, did you say that?
Pavlov.
Ah, Pavlov. Ah, yeah. Well, it's also pathetic.
The solution is we work very hard, we need an extra person.
Yeah.
Because we're so busy.
Yeah.
But no one is saying, let's work more efficiently. Let's spend some time, work more efficiently, save 20% of your time by implementing a CLM tool, for example, which will cost time for a while. But once you have done that, start working more efficiently and instead of hiring an extra person. That's the challenge, I think.
And also, how are you going to convince that you need an extra person without the numbers? So
yes.
I think the right metrics, or I think we agree that the right metrics are certain that the business and management board understand the importance of legal. And I think it's also really important to show in terms of what they understand. Eh? So mention time, mention money, mention risk, mention growth. So the terminology which are used in management reporting.
And if you have the metrics at the table, like how much time does it cost for e-signing, how much time does the approval cost, then you can even sort of gamify this and make it an internal competition.
Yeah.
Like the one department have their e-signing quickly up and running. Let's discuss a little bit more how a legal department may embed in the entire enterprise, because data becomes way more important now that we have artificial intelligence. That's really critical. Where are the data? Are they scattered across the organization? AI needs them as much as possible.
What is the quality of the data?
What
Let's
is the quality of
that.
The data? Oh, don't mention that. How do you manage this generally? Because what you want is that for an AI to operate efficiently is that they can pick up input received by after sales people servicing versus the sales people versus the marketing and communication people who do some market research as well and aggregate those data and translate it maybe into contracts.
Yep.
But it requires that you, first of all, de-silo data and create what's called
structured data.
Structured data, yeah, data pool.
Yes, that's very important. What we also often mention is for AI tools, trash in, trash out. So get your data organized. And I think that's a good starting point when you start with legal operations as well. Maybe the third bucket we like to discuss. So the third bucket, which is important, is business alignment and value metrics. So are we helping the company to achieve its goals? I think that is the role of legal as well. This is something you can measure via business satisfaction. So a survey, I think we discussed this also when we had the episode about how to start with legal operations. So start with a survey. And if you do that on a yearly basis, you can also see if the satisfaction improves. And it also gives you input in how you can improve. Most companies, most big companies also have like this NPS style scores. You can also use that for legal.
NPS scores?
Yeah, it measures the satisfaction of, for example, working at a certain company. Impact metrics, so how much money did you save due to a faster contract cycle? Or better, how much money did you make due to a faster contract cycle? So, or due to better negotiations. It's difficult to measure, but if you can measure certain data, it will really give you value. But also legal input into strategic initiatives, so how much did the company make due to a project which legal supported?
I think that to take this one step back, I already mentioned this WACC, the weighted average cost of capital, as a measurement of the how much is it worth to save a week or two on a contracting cycle altogether. I think the message here would be, as a legal department, talk to your finance department about how do you do your accounting methods, and what is how do you translate your financial ratios,
or how do they use Power BI, because they do and they can help you. And it is really the way to improve your presence as legal department. If you master this, you're a much more serious sparring partner for your CFO, for example. If you show that you understand your own metrics,
talk the same language.
Yes, exactly. And you can show improvement, and you can show what's going on, basically, with numbers. Yeah, they know that. And it makes discussions about budget, for example, much easier.
So if I summarize, I think before we go into tips and tricks, I heard three big whys. The first why is leadership needs to see how legal contributes to the business goals, and metrics help with communicating that. It enables you to change the perspective from cost center to value driver. The second why is, if I summarize correctly, that data helps legal to argue for resources, justify spends, such as tech investments, and also to push back on unrealistic expectations. And the third one is efficiency and improvement. Without data, you can't identify bottlenecks or demonstrate improvement over time. And that brings me also directly to one of the first tips and tricks. I think look at your processes and also think about, what do I want to know about this process? For example, a process is multiple steps, creates a process. Which step do I want to know more about? So I start collecting data about it, because, for example, a certain process goes wrong more often. If I collect data, I can see that this process is used, for example, 200 times a month. This is a very important process for us, for our team. So let's spend some time to see what goes wrong, what we can do better.
It's interesting. Yes, processes are really what you then focus on, thanks to metrics and data. I've seen with a customer who had, for an NDA tool, some 15 processes through the organization. And 15,
that's
meant,
a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, for a simple NDA, and NDAs are not necessarily negotiated, so it's not a big deal. But it was really that every department had who could initiate or send out an NDA and have it signed. Who was responsible for picking up the NDA for the e-signing? Was there some double check by the legal department involved in the whole process of the NDA? This was so different that alignment took them, I don't know how much time, but really a lot of time to get to improvement, where you then also have the question underlying is RACI, I don't know how to say it in English. It's RACI. Who's responsible, who's accountable for a process, who needs to be consulted in the process, and who is to be informed in the end. And then, of course, you have the senior management who needs to be involved. Consultant is typically the legal counsel who advises on things but hasn't got a sort of end responsibility. A responsible person is the the ultimate business owner, the CEO of a business unit, if you wish, or the CFO of a business unit, and then the accountable people are the sales managers and or their leaders or so. And if you want to get your process better, and I'm going to talk about processes on another episode, I would say, you would need to be able to collect your data, of course, properly. But your collecting of data in a system may show you that one of those 15 processes is really way inefficient. Yep. Versus another process, and not justified by the risks for having that process in place.
Yes, and another recommendation is measure the right data. So, for example, not how much contracts are signed, but look at cycle time, look at contract value, and measure the data you need to show your process. But you can start small, because we discussed now all kind of great things you can measure. But I think if you already start measuring your customer satisfaction, so let's say business, how does business looks at the legal department, and you measure that when you start with legal operations and you measure that the year after, you already see some progress, the same as your external counsel spend. Create a baseline when you start with legal operations and measure it the year after. If one of the two is not improving, that should be your focus point for the next year. Start slow or small and then improve over time. And indeed, whenever you are buying legal tech, look at solutions which can help you with that. Any other recommendations?
Yeah, another great topic to start with, we just discussed, is legal spend. It's easy, it is money, and it is a good way to show as a legal department that you are involved in cost cutting or cost management, I should say, which gives you a good, well, insight and a good reputation within the company. If you show that you're really critical on how legal spend is managed, how you buy in your external law firms or other external legal service providers, that's a good way to start.
And it's a very healthy, I mean, it's easy for an external counsel law firm to become a sort of lazy.
Absolutely. That is what they are.
Okay, let's then step maybe in a final thing and beat it up with artificial intelligence capabilities. I think one thing that we didn't discuss yet is CLM metadata, and that's actually where the nice pearl is as well. If you would use AI for extracting data from your contracts, then it becomes the AI really enables you to extract way more data in an efficient and quick and reliable way. And that enables you to elevate your contract management from a base line of start date, end date, automatic renewals, is there a change of control clause, and what's the applicable law, to advanced and more granular management of data that is much more connected to the operations that you would probably sync or integrate with your ERP system or your CRM system, but which originates in your contracting process, in your contract that you sign. At an elevated level of contract management, and we should really dedicate an episode to advanced contract lifecycle management, and probably ask project engineers who do project management and contract management in a way more professional way than you usually see within legal departments, you really elevate your contract management to a higher level. Extracting data thanks to AI makes it possible to collect much more CLM metadata.
And that also, the idea pops up to have a certain episode about data quality, because we are now talking about what should legal measure. And I think that is really important also to get you started. But there is so much to discuss about data quality, what kind of data is available within the organization that you can use. So there will be definitely another episode about this. But maybe to round up this one, I invite you to let us know in the comments what kind of data collection we didn't discuss and what a legal department should collect. What are your learnings? Is there anything we missed, or is there something you agree on, let us know in the comments or reach out to one of us, and we will take that into account in a next episode if we're going to talk about data again. Thank you for listening and hope to see you next time.